This is Channel 1 Over. Channel 1 Over, and beginning of the visit to Bob, Maryland this Saturday morning around noon, the 28th of November, 1970. Channel 1 Over. Channel 1 Over. And the beginning of this visit was Bob, Maryland. They just stopped by this Saturday morning about noon, the 28th of November, 1970. Channel 1 Over. Channel 1 Over, and beginning of the visit was Bob and Marilyna this Saturday morning about noon, this 28th of November, 1970. 28th of November, 1970, beginning of the visit with Bob and Marilyna. Channel 1 Over, this Saturday morning about noon was Bob and Marilyna. They just stopped in this Saturday morning, 28th of November, 1970. Channel 1 Over, and the beginning of the visit with Bob and Marilyna. Half hour visit. A fine, good visit.
I don't know just how this kind of commodity is. Please, you.
Huh? In a house on a beautiful day like this.
Sit over here. Let's see what
it is. Look at that. Boy, they're beautiful.
You been out digging sweet potatoes?
Oh, they're pretty, though.
There's
nothing
nicer than a good baked sweet potato.
Oh, I have had it this year. I get so disgusted with them at the store because they look all right. You get them in there so
strange
and messy looking.
I have had them. I just got them the other night.
You haven't had a chance to cook yet, huh? But now they're good. I know. He would.
I came in from the office, and I almost ran into them. There's two little sacks like that right out there on the ramp.
You're not supposed to do this for us. We were people are supposed to go around doing things. Thanksgiving, where I took Marilyn and got a turkey that's basted that was.
Who can tell with that?
You have a turkey
basted
Stuff dressing in it,
yeah.
And so we took it down to man, and I didn't want to do any more than you had to do since it.
Because I was going out to eat, and
I had to cook anyhow. Well, I asked her to cook it for me, and I got it at the place, and he cut it in half.
I don't go often out there.
Thank you, God.
We don't want to take all your potatoes.
And I took half of it to my brother, who is by himself now, and then I took the other half to mother, who is by herself. And Christopher Rubin, and then we took Mother on over to Bob's, and we had dinner over there, and we played some, and then I took him. We took them some presents, and then
we
came
one
back by
Fred.
Oh Lord, we didn't get
we
back.
We got up.
Judy
and Linda got up at 4 o'clock Thanksgiving morning to leave at 5 to go home.
Yeah, got up at 4 o'clock.
For dinner? So we all got up at 4 o'clock, and then we piddled around and got off to go down yonder, and we went by Crystal River and by Clearwater and over to Tampa.
And then when I got to Crystal River, I always have to go there and work on Mother's house or something.
Not Crystal River,
not
Clearwater.
Clearwater.
So we had to work, and then we had to eat, and then we had to go back by Mother Lee's to take her home and work some more, and then we had to go back by Fred's and see that he was all right and going to get to bed, at 9 o'clock or something. Then when we got home at 9 o'clock, about 9:30, we were dead.
We were too late.
Well, you
had
to
I've never been so tired in all my life.
I used to get up full day and get to work, but it just hurts me now to get up and have to turn on the lights.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like getting up in the dark. We do it every morning.
We do. Yeah, we get up.
Because Judy gets up at 6:15, and it's dark.
Lord, I wore my Marilyn out this morning. I was up practicing here before 8.
The school bus stops down here at 6 o'clock.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Picks up one child, I think.
Then you hear it.
They start off with the first session. You see, they have to be there, I think, about 7 o'clock.
It's dark at 6.
And then they get out at noon, and then the next ones go.
Isn't that something?
That's awful.
Thanksgiving, you all couldn't stand Thanksgiving very often, could you?
No.
Not at that rate.
Not
Well, we do that sort of thing. We go down there often, you know, to the mothers. So much to do down there to keep her up, you know.
What did you do?
Well, her light blew out the night before. There, where she reads, she listens to the radio, she lies in bed and hears his sermons and everything, you know, radio. Has light there, and she has a little heater she'll attach to it or something. And the thing's old. All that wiring. One blew out in the up there in the little library room, she calls it, where she types, you know. And I tried to work. It has a three-way up and a three-way down. You know, it has a light that gets bright and bright to 150. And then it has lights on the side that will turn one or two or three. And I tried to work that thing, and I just had one heck of a time trying to figure that thing out.
So you take it apart again and start over.
Well, she's going to have it her way. I'll just wait for God.
So just keep taking that thing out, you know, of this old lamp and trying to fix it. And time to get it put back down in and get the cap on, and it wouldn't work.
Or it would work in a different way, you see. In other words, there's so many combinations that you can make out of six. And then two off of that and off of that. That's eight altogether. The combinations, the possibilities of these wires running together upon that combination. I had a time with it.
Well, now, that was a luxury thing when she got that, didn't it?
Wasn't it? Well, no, it wasn't that way, because I got away from there, and I got to thinking about it while I put in a new wire up leading up to those. Those other wires were old, and I figured that, God, that they were old, and they were terribly old. And one that I took out was just cracking, you just crack up like that. I figured that if they heated up, while I got it fixed for, and they heated up, while then, and blew out, it blew her fuse. She doesn't have a breaker box. There's a fuse. Yeah. And then she'd be in total darkness, and it would just make her sick. Actually, the lamp in her bed went out, and that made her sick. Just made her, she had to regurgitate. She was so sick from being there in the dark and wondering what you'd do, you know. And
couldn't get a flashlight to work.
It just happened that I was taking a lamp down to replace the one in the front of the house. And so I put that up at the bed, but no, mother is going on 91 now, and she, oh, it's got to be this way, it's got to be there. So finally, I got out of what she wanted. There's a thing you screw into the top, and there are two things you can plug into on the side, and then you can screw a light into the top of that. So coming back, I found that sort of thing. See, it's Thanksgiving, you couldn't buy things. So we stopped that up. Quick check or something, one of those 7-Eleven things, and I found one in there. And I went back and fixed that. Then I'd given them my old refrigerator, which is pretty good.
We didn't like to defrost it.
That's why I gave it away. Now I have to drive down to Clearwater to defrost it for them. That's right. That's exactly right.
You ain't kidding.
That's right. I gave away. I got
really
so sick of that thing of defrosting.
Really,
it takes an hour.
But he took the vacuum down there and he defrosted it anyhow. Yes, sir, we're going to defrost that refrigerator.
Well, I wouldn't have to do that.
No, we got
just
to get
Christmas.
On.
All you have to stay here and have some coffee and we'll.
No, I got some meat.
Of those steaks.
I got some meat. I tell you, I just appreciate you putting me on to those steaks no end. Because I had other kind of steak since
really
I found out about them.
Well,
aren't they wonderful?
Well, they're just marvelous. You can just have it. You can.
In a minute.
And Nancy and Henry are going to be over for the game. And if I can ever get in touch with them,
the
you know.
Is this the same thing?
Yeah, it's a game, light game. And so I thought I'd try to.
We don't draw straws to see which one will talk. We like the South America. We come up to a road and they all honk their horn. The one who honk loudest try to get the right of way. That's the way we are with the talking.
Oh, heaven.
Well, Marilyn, those are little stakes hand in hell then when you get all these members of your family there.
What's that now?
These little stakes, you don't have to.
They are marvelous. And he fixes them so we can take one out at a time. And so if you want to have them, it just takes about a minute to get them out and let them.
Give me a commission.
Boy, you deserve it.
Well,
I tell you, so does Denny. I'll give you one too.
And you know, they're not
Denny. I'll give a commission.
And they're not so terribly expensive because they all meat.
They need every bit of it.
But Marilyn, you and Mr. Denny were
And I was there for a while.
Yeah, I was mad with him. I didn't go back. I get mad with everybody. You want to tell about my blowing up?
Yeah, I'm blowing up.
I got a ticket last week, a traffic ticket.
I thought it was
blowing. And it was 9 o'clock at night, and I drove up to a stoplight and red light and stopped and turned right on the red light, and the cop followed me up to this place where I went to pick up Judy. She was visiting at a friend's house, so here I came up with this blue light. And this cop was behind me, and he didn't get out of the car, so I got out, and I went with Ben. I said, "Are you following me by any chance?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well," he said, "I want to see your driver's license." So by that time, Judy and Jane had come out of the house all. So he said, "Oh, yes." And I said, "Well, what did I do, please?" And he said, "You turned on a red light." I said, "Well, I stopped." And he said, "Well, you turned on a red light and you weren't supposed to." And so I explained to him, cars coming this way, turning this way, and nothing else coming, and I just turned right. 9:30 at night out there at that Stephen Foster school.
And he's hiding up there in the...
He's hiding up in the bushes.
Up there, that's
so
right.
So he said, I said, "Well, I did stop." He said, "Well, didn't you see that sign up there?" I said, "No." So there's a sign way up there at the light that says, "No turn on red."
Oh, those are tricky.
And so
well,
I was furious.
He was hiding, waiting for anybody to violate
it. I was so mad about it because it was so unreasonable. And I was just raising the devil and being as nasty as I could, and Judy and Jane said, "Be quiet. I'm too damn well to give me a ticket or not. I'm mad about it, you know." So he gave me a ticket. And when he got through writing the ticket, I asked him, I said, "If you don't mind, where were you?" He said, "I was in Stephen Foster." I said, "Up in the parking lot, huh?" He said, "Yes." Hiding up there. No lights up there, you know. So
black. Can't see them.
I raised so much hell at the office, finally, Leonard Ireland called and tried to get me off. I told him it was $16 flat. So I told Leonard I'd give him $16 if he'd get me off. So he called me and he said, "Come down to traffic court." Have you ever been to traffic court?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's down there in the old library, you know?
Yeah.
I couldn't. So I went down and all these niggers and white people and everybody's coming in, you know, fussing. Everybody mad as heck. So Leonard went with me, and I told him I'd just go on down, pay him a fine, wasn't used to argue about it. So he got me off for $8. And I was the only person in traffic court with a lawyer. But he got you off for $8. He went out and talked to him before court started. I told Leonard, I said, "I told you it wasn't any use to go. I'd just soon go on and give him, pay the whole thing, you know." He said, "Well, I was afraid if you went down there and raised as much hell as you did around the office, they'd put you in jail without coming out of
me."
I was so mad, I was just cussing him out right now.
Changing from Ms. Milk Toast, you know, this morning I got up early and practiced, and pretty soon she got enough of it. She couldn't go anymore. She went out, she throws pots around when she gets enough of it, you know, and then she went out, took the trash up, slammed the door. Well, the man doesn't come for a couple of hours. I had to pull up anyway to put the money in place. But then, she figures that, you know, I fiddle while Rome burns.
He's been fussing. He's been
fussing.
Right. I fiddle
while Rome burns, you know, and that's wrong.
We practice and he fussed every day. I just ought not practice this violin. It just wears me out. I'm so tired. And then when he doesn't even have to, he gets up and starts with it. It's more than I can.
Killer this morning. Oh, I'm going well, you know. I played through the medicine. About nearly threw it again. I practice a little exercise. I'm having fun, you know. It's going pretty good.
And that's the first thing.
Yeah.
I did that.
Can't get dressed before we start.
Yeah, I was in my pajamas. Right.
And it didn't bother him. I told him, I said, "Well, Ms. Emmy Lee lives down the way. She goes down early to get a paper, so she usually brings ours, and she puts it right on the steps coming down, you know, so we can see it." So I went out there, and there was the paper. I said, "Well, Emmy came by and brought the paper, and here you in here fiddling away in your pajamas."
Why was she angry?
That didn't bother him a bit. Oh, Lord.
You know, Marilyna, everywhere I go seems like I'm at the end of the road. I can stand there all morning, and they won't wait on me. And somebody else will just walk in.
Where is that now? Up at Dennis?
No, anywhere.
Anywhere.
Well, you ought to do like Bob. He just walks right up in front of everybody and he said, gets his word in with what he wants.
Mel, I was so worried. I was going to say something this morning, interrupting me. He just talked to this other fellow for about a half hour, seeing me, and we were waiting there, and he was just talking to him. We wanted some meat, you know, and get away.
So Bob comes over in a loud voice and says, what kind of steaks do you want?
Well, I didn't say it to him. I just said to Mary.
No, he said.
No, he asked. No, the only reason he asked me, said, he finished his conversation and said, now, what can I do for you? And then I didn't know how many she wanted, you know, so I just asked, how many do you want?
No, this was before.
Now, that's his version of it.
That's his version of it. He was talking to the man before this, and Bob came over to me. He was standing over there, and he said, what kind of steaks do you want?
It was
and
horrible.
Then Mr. Denny finished up his conversation with the man. He said he'd come back next Tuesday.
Well, gosh, you're lucky to get where you don't know on Saturday.
Well, it was, this morning
really?
There were very few people.
Really?
In there.
Yeah.
Just, I believe there's just one and that old man when we went in.
Well, they had three people there who were
they got an extra colored man working
there. And
they
had, and the old fellow, the colored fellow that's been there a long time, was cutting for one person, and we were just sitting, standing and waiting.
Yeah, he's kind of young. He's been there with him a long time. I didn't know what his name was. How's Mamu getting along?
Fine. She went down West Tennessee this Thanksgiving. See her old friends. Does he have those steaks for you? Don't you have to order them? Don't you get them frozen? Well, he does you better than me.
He had a big, sometimes he has very skimpy peeps, you know. But I asked him today if he had a dozen. He said, oh, yeah, he had some good ones. And he had a great, huge piece.
They were
like
good.
Mm-hmm. And
they look
grand.
Yeah, that makes me envious. She wish she had some more.
And so he just cuts them off. And
Flora gets a whole eye of the round and has it frozen. And then he can cut it a little thinner.
These are medium to thin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Judy got some last week or so. She stops by on the way from school a lot of times and picks them up, and they were real thin.
Mm-hmm.
But they were coming down toward the end of the thing, I think, and they weren't weren't as meaty as the others. They were kind of tissue paperish. But these, I think, are going to be great.
Going on, you're going to vote on December the 3rd, you know, whether to keep the university college and all that. Isn't that awful? I'm so sick of it. I told Jim the other day, I'm so sick of this thing, I don't know what to do. We're all off.
Well, don't you know he is?
Yeah, Lord.
He thought he was getting into trouble when he came back here, you know, to step into that business. But he never thought he'd get into that.
Well, I wouldn't. Woo, man, that's the worst mess.
Did
you read the letter that Gordon Bigelow wrote?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, you ought to read that. That the University College is sick. And he went on to say that he gave the figures and he had the statistics on that, which showed that less than half of them had PhDs. And he mentioned that some of them had a degree of some sort. like Jim Neal, you know, his EDD, you know. And Cutler, I think, EDD, that kind of thing, you know, degrees of some sort.
What did Cutler have?
I imagine he has an EDD of education.
Oh, I was trying to make divinity. What is it?
Jim Neal has the same thing. No, well, he has one of divinity, but he also has, instead of a PhD, he has an EDD. That's a doctor of education, you know.
Yeah.
That's not a PhD. And he went on high standard all, you know, all that thing. And by comparison, what the English department had, he forgets that old Archie, who was there for years and years and just got out, had nothing but an M.A. And that,
Bob, before you get off, you said something about the third floor. Is the third floor of that house down there? Your mama's house?
No, she has a one-story house. What did I say about the third floor?
I don't know, but she way up yonder somewhere I don't know about.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. She has a one-story house.
Hers is just a one-story
house. Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was a two-story house.
No. No,
it's
that's
a one-story house with a flat roof.
Well, the roof goes like this. It isn't flat. It goes down like this.
Goes down in the middle.
And it's all kinds of things on the side. And it's an old Spanish-style wall that comes up about this high off the roof. on around,
yes.
going around.
Yes.
See?
Oh, really?
Stucco.
Yeah.
No stucco.
Stucco, and then it goes up like that
and
wall.
And it cracks,
all the way
and then the water goes
and
down through these places
cracks.
That you could never find, you
and
know.
I had to
and it's
caulk it,
through
and
seal
it.
And find a leak somewhere.
And the
well,
roof goes
way
like
off
that,
where
up,
the leak is.
Up.
No.
And then there's a divider between there where it leaks, and in the front there's a wall there. Oh,
well, I didn't realize that. I had admired those houses. There's one between here and your house, don't you know? On 441. Over on the right.
Going in?
Yeah.
Well, that's old...
No, it's past your house.
Yeah, passed by. And that's... That belongs to Emerson's house. Emerson, you know. The.
You mean for, right before you get to the prairie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's Emerson's house. It's like that. It's
well,
like
he don't
that.
Live in it.
No,
no
he's
building
a new one.
You and he used to rent it, but I think it's
well, it's like that. It's that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't realize they were
and yet,
was made like
ooh,
that.
They
They've got what you call it around it, Curry?
It's a, yeah, it's an old...
What do you call it?
Well, I just said a wall. It's
wall around
a,
it, yeah.
Wall around it, around the top.
Yeah. Old Spanish, you call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right, Spanish
yeah.
house.
Well, that's Spanish. Now, you know, they adapted that sort of Florida for a while.
Yeah, that's right,
in
Florida.
You
see them occasionally.
So, I don't know, I thought back ago. Would that go before? You don't know.
Well, this house was built probably about 35 or 40 years
I'd
ago.
I'd say about 50 years ago, probably.
I don't remember.
Right after
how,
the war?
I don't remember how old it was when they bought
I
it.
I don't
they
think
bought it when
that
Becky
old.
Was a baby, and that's 20.
I imagine.
No, it's older than that.
I think of that 20, is those houses
mm-hmm.
were here.
Becky and those have finally got the
war. First World War house.
She called last Monday night and said that they had gotten in midnight Sunday.
Becky's got to Washington.
She's to Washington. And they were in a motor hotel for a week and hoped to find something. They haven't heard anything since. So I don't know, were they still in the motor hotel with
well,
the birds and the dog?
I thought she had been there ever since summer.
She's been in Lexington, Kentucky.
He's
Gerald's been
working
on his dissertation over and over and over and over.
I don't know what he's doing up there. He must be
see,
he
took his
been.
Oral on a draft. And got everything
draft
completed,
the
and then he's trying to get it multigraphed and all kinds of stuff and typed and all.
Well, he's just going all out. To
and he's been there all fall.
All fall.
Well,
and he's supposed to be at his job on a Monday. He called the week before and told him was sorry he couldn't make it that week. How about making it the next week? And so it's gone on that way.
Well, I'm
and then when he left, he still didn't have it finished.
Oh, gee whiz.
Well, he was proofreading again.
And Becky
yeah.
said he had some pages had to be done over because it didn't turn out good.
Well.
The multigraph, but they finally.
He has, he's going to send about 12 copies, I think, over of that thing. You know what it costs?
Yeah.
To Bogota for the mission over there. I don't know why he's. When he left here, you know, it was all right then, ready. I'd read it through, made corrections, and is ready for to be typed then. I mean, it was finally. And one trouble he had, though, that I didn't have, he had some girl who'd never typed a dissertation to type it. You know, that's pathetic.
Because she needed the money.
Of course, she needed the money. They put her onto the thing.
And
not Gerald, but the people up there.
And then she had a child who was sick
that's
with pneumonia
ridiculous.
For a while, and she couldn't do anything. And so Becky's been doing most of the typing and cussing like the dickens about it. She has raised
well, Gerald is just, Gerald is sort of a fine boy, but is unreasonable about the last minute. He puts everything off the last minute. He won't possibly do a thing
yeah, until
when he got
he's
ready,
got to go.
When he got ready to leave here to go to a meeting, He was here the whole weekend, but no, he wouldn't do a thing till that Sunday morning. He's supposed to catch the plane in Jacksonville.
We were
then
already
to
take him.
And then Becky had to write these letters and figure out, and he doesn't have it in mind, you know, exactly what he wants, and he has to figure out these things, and he wants her to figure them out and try to do them, you know. And, you know, you tell him what you want there, you know, in these things.
And those letters had to be done before
but he
we
wait, instead of doing it the week before, he waits till he's leaving that morning. It's
yeah.
time to go.
Yeah.
To drive up to
well,
Jackson,
you know, if I was
to
do
letters.
That, there's no telling what I'd put in a letter.
I can't do it that way. I would have
let
done a month
Robert,
ahead.
You know, I can't pick up my books and get in the car and drive to the office. I've got to put those things in the night before.
Yeah.
If I wait till that morning, I'll take
it. Getting just like the rest of us, isn't it?
Getting that way.
I don't know. That last minute stuff, I can't do. I never have been able to do that, Melina.
You can't carry it in your mind like that. You got to do it. Bob does the same thing. He gets all of his stuff out and makes a list.
Yeah, I got a list up on the door of things I got to take, even to a handkerchief, my eyeglasses, my watch, my pen, my everything on the door, and I go check it before I start out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about 7 or 8 things on the door I haven't written down to check to see if I have my glasses, my watch, because I just soon leave my watch, and my handkerchief, my fountain pen, my wallet, and all the keys for the office, because I have been there and forgotten my keys, you know, leaving another suit. So I just check the list, and then I'm okay.
Well, now, you're more systematic than I am.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just put it in a pile.
Yeah. Well, I check before I go to see if I have it. My list, just look at the list, takes a minute. Now, my keys, and I pat my pocket, wallet, pat my pocket, glasses, too. That's silly.
Now, me, you see? Now, Bob rushes, he waits the last minute and rushes off to class, and you think he's...
Well, I have to do it. Marilyn goes, you see. She goes with me, and she can't make it sooner.
Yeah, you think he's stuck-eyed, but he's better prepared than I am.
Yes, with a list.
Yeah.
Well, I don't miss out
checklist.
On the list. Checklist. That's it.
Fee, I don't... You all talk about these things, and I never get in on them, but Fee said something to me about $2,500... And you see, I never get these things.
$2,500.
That Daryl had for his
mom.
Oh,
mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 27 or 28.
Yeah,
yeah.
We got it all fixed and arranged.
How did you have? I was trying because we were sort of interested in how that could be done. How did you have to do it?
Well, he had to. He could sell his car down there for so much. And keep so much, which was a great huge amount, because the cars down there sell like everything. But the mission figures out how much for the difference in insurance and all that kind of stuff, some kind of complicated thing. But all over that, he couldn't keep. He had to give it to an organized, give it to charity.
Oh.
And they wanted to give it to for the children, of course.
Uh-huh.
Because they help out with the children every month, and they thought while they were making this change, particularly it would help to have this much, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, I told you what Annette said to do with it.
No.
Annette Feaster told them, they wrote JL and Annette and asked them what to figure out something. She said, well, just send it to the church and let the children not pay their dues every time.
Yeah, about close to $3,000.
So they wrote and said that was a suggestion that they had. So we went through the juvenile court with it.
Marilyn did this.
Yeah, I figured it out. I'm so smart. But Mr. Gamble is the man who has charge of the juvenile shelf out there. You know, they've got a new one. I didn't know whether you
know
or not. They built one several years ago.
Some of the illegals ain't going to rub off on her.
Well,
that's why
she got all these years.
Well, she's got it straight.
But he had worked with
Listen.
The children, and he knew that they weren't getting much money from their father, and that the Feasters didn't have it. And so I called him and asked him if he would be willing to take it, accept the check as a charity, and then if he felt like it, he could turn it back over to them. So that's what they did.
From South America.
But they sent the check to the juvenile shelter.
Oh.
And he put on his check in the letter he wrote that it was to be used for the people in the Micanopy area that needed it. And so then they turned it over to the Feasters, and we put it in the building alone, so she's going to get $50 a month out of it.
The girl won't have to send anything for a couple of years.
And then it'll draw a little interest, too. The building and loans said they would mail her a check every month.
In addition
to that.
Oh, really? Yeah, for the
$50. That worked out pretty well, because Marilyn maneuvered it through the charity here, so that
I talked to Gamble about it, because I can't stand that John Connell. He's the county
judge. Don't get into all that. She finally got it straightened out.
And Gamble told me that he would just make the check right over to the Feasters. But when Gerald and Becky came, they went up and talked to him about it. But when it came, Connell put it in another account. He talked to him about it. And then Connell got married and went off for 3 weeks on a honeymoon. And he was just in an awful state. He divorced his wife and took 3 children away from him and put him in a mental institution and married a 25-year-old girl that was across, had come to work over there across the way from him in Alma Bethesda. Had all this going on up there. Well, he didn't have his mind on anything, you know.
No.
So, after he came back, he was back about a week, and I went up there and talked to him, and he said, well, he'd look into it, and if that's the way it was, he would let us have a check. Well, he didn't do it, so I called Gamble 2 or 3 times, and finally they got it. He got him to sign the check and got it to him. So they got that much to help out with those kids.
Then Gerald has bought a car here from his brother. Now listen, bought a car from his brother, GL, for $1,200. And then he drove it up to Lexington and kept it about a month, I guess. And then he bought a new one. And then he sent this car back to his father and sold it to him for $500 to his father. Now, GL is this kind of, I think it's a sin, really. GL will tithe. That is, he gives a full tenth of his salary to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't give one penny to his parents, but he gives it to the church. And none of it gets to his parents, and then leaves parents up to charity.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on welfare.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did hire a maid for a while, and the maid couldn't get in the house.
Once a week,
couldn't get in the house.
For the...
Yeah, she was doing the ironing for Miss Feaster. She was supposed to come one
so
day and make it
with
hell, but finally they just gave up with that.
But that strikes me as just
funny.
Horrible. A person who let his parents, you know, stay on welfare and do without and not have money to do anything and try and take care of the children. And he gives one tenth. I wouldn't tithe if I could. But I mean, if I went to the church, but that's one tenth, and not a cent to his parents.
And he makes a pretty good salary.
Yes, he makes about 11,000-12,000.
Good Lord!
Yes, he does. He makes
yes,
I think it's 11,000 or something.
Well, he did make 11,000. You know, he's got some
races. He's the counselor down at Barron County School Board.
He's one of the commissioners, in the circle.
Yeah.
Well, the point is now tithing. I asked Ernest Cox one time when we were out in the border. I said, are you tithe? He was rather embarrassed. He said, no. I said, well, I don't either. But that's a lot of money to give away to the church. If you tithe, give a tenth of 11,000.
That you can see where it does good. That's what bothers me about all this
charity,
this organized charity.
Did you read that thing in the paper not too long ago? They stopped at the Tom Sawyer Motel. The family didn't have anything. Had a couple of children, and they couldn't. They called up all the welfare places in Gainesville to try to get help for them, and not a soul would help them, or could help them, or would help them. Of all the welfare places, now they collect thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars out of this United Fund and various other charities, you know. And the Salvation Army said, yes, they would help them, but they would have to separate for them to help them. And they would have none of that. They weren't going to separate the children and the wife and all, you know.
Had two little tiny
mm-hmm.
kids. The
and
night
so
that it turned so cold, you know,
cold
and they were out
coming.
On the highway waiting, trying to get a ride.
It was in the paper.
Well, the Gainesville Sun does some good. They sure do shake them up occasionally.
Not a charity in town, of all of them that they have there and all the monies that they get, would aid this poor family that had nothing and they'd been burned out or something.
No, they went down south looking for work and he couldn't find any.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started back up and the car blew out and they couldn't fix it, so they just had to leave it. And they were hitchhiking.
And stop them on, couldn't they? He said he'd be glad to work to the place to pay for a place to stay for his family. The sun was so cold that night. You know, he got down to 19 right
now. They kept him out there, and he worked, I think, for their food.
In the meantime, he got on the telephone and tried to get some help for him.
But Gladys,
he called up the church that they belonged to. Well, they said, well, we'll send some canned goods. And they had no way to use the canned goods, no way to cook it, anything.
Gladys who?
Gladys who?
Oh, Gladys Feaster.
The Lord will provide, she says.
She came, around the house when we were getting this thing straight. And then she said, you know, said somebody was talking about, well, what if something comes up? And she said, well, I told him, just not to worry, that somebody will come. Well, they will. Said, well, it will be taken. Said, it will be taken care of. I don't
you know, that's like Mother's same way. Now, she prays, and Robert sends a check every month.
She prays.
She sends it to, the worst part about it, she sends it to this old quack, Oral Roberts. You know, he's a quack to me, anyway.
Yeah.
And
but Oral
she
Roberts
sends it to him.
And,
so Oral Roberts sees that I send the check over there by his prayer to the Almighty, you know.
I know Oral Roberts.
Yeah. Well, she believes in him. Anytime my brother has any trouble or something, she sends him money, I think, and asks him to pray.
You know, now that's a curious thing. That is a curious thing. To me, the first time I ever saw him, and I used to listen to him every now and then, just to confirm it, mm-hmm. He looks like just a natural born skin flint. Yeah.
Well, don't tell me he's a skin flint, and boy, he has done skinned it.
Now look at Mama Lee.
Yeah, well, she.
He don't look like that to her.
No, she
looks like
the
Lord to her.
Lord.
Yeah,
yes, sir. He can pray out of purgatory.
Yeah, she gets a little note from him saying something good's going to happen, and she just dotes on that something good's going to happen now.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. My eyes are going to get better, and I'm going to be able to walk. My knee is not going to bother me. Uh-huh. You know, something good's gonna happen. You just wait. Won't be long now.
And
you
can live
on
that.
Yeah. That's what keeps it up.
And so I go down there every week and pay the house and fix whatever she needs and take her half a turkey and send her a check every month and the Lord's gonna provide. He takes my money, seems says that these quacks in order to be sure that I send the money.
Yeah, you go down there and do all of that and she gets so aggravated at you that she's glad when you're gone.
Sometimes she does. Oh dear.
Gladys has been one of my favorites, Gladys Feaster.
I don't know how she keeps such a cheerful outlook.
Cheerful.
I just feel never in this world. I told somebody one time that if there's anything to make you believe in religion, it was Gladys Feaster. Because
she's
got the most cheerful outlook about everything and to be in the circumstances there.
She did not have a piece of bread in the house, but I tell you, she would come out smiling.
Everything's
and the Lord's going to provide. Somebody will come up with something.
But she is really something.
Well, maybe that's what it's for.
They live in a good community over there. They don't all tithe, I don't guess. I mean, they do. But
she probably does.
Yeah, she probably does.
As those memories go, that's a nice one.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice one.
I used to go there every second Sunday, whatever it was, and I just miss it.
They'll probably give most of the $50 to the church and do without the food themselves. I tell you, I feel so sorry for that dog over there.
Well, that's not income, really. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to tithe on charity, are you?
Well, I think they help out at the church, but I doubt if they tithe.
Well, anyway, I'll tell about Oliver. Oliver is a poor thing there. He's Turnip's father, Oliver is. You know, Turnip is Becky's fine dog that she thinks more of than she does the Lord.
Yeah.
And Turnip is just a magnificent dog, and she eyeballs. Well, and Oliver's a father, and he's over there, and the man, Mr. Feaster, has a good mind and all that. But he says, he doesn't worry about Oliver. He says there's plenty of food in the woods. He can go there, you know, catch a rabbit or something. The poor dog's so weak he can't even walk out of the yard.
So we take his
and
food.
That's the reason he's the only one that hasn't gotten run over, because he can't walk out of the yard. He gets so weak. The rest of them been run over by that fast. Anyway, I feel so sorry for that dog. I take him over there. I save up all kinds of bones, chicken bones and meat bones, and sometimes I'll go up to the store and buy a dollar's worth of meat, you know, and take it over there and give the poor old dog. It's awful. And he's so he wolfs it down and it'll kill him.
And if
he
we
just
go
was so hungry,
he just
flies
and goes on.
He knows when I bring him food, you know, they wouldn't feed him anything.
They don't even have
that. That to me is horrible. I saw him on television at one of these camps where they bring in animals, you know, for hunting preserve. And then the people go out there and shoot them. These great big fine animals, and they bring all kinds
it's
of.
It's up in
and they take
Seattle,
the gun. You couldn't miss them.
They got an island out
you couldn't
there.
Miss them. They have these cross sights, you know.
Thing going
and you could you can hit you could drive in a nail in. I don't know how far.
They go out there and shoot them.
You couldn't miss, and they shoot these beautiful animals down.
It's terrible.
Oh, it's just horrible. I just can't stand it. But then to let this poor dog suffer there and say he can get his food out in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
One day I took some meat over there I bought from Mr. Denny. And Mr. Feast said, is that edible? He's going to eat it himself, you know. Take it away from Oliver. I wasn't about to let him eat this meat I brought for Oliver. I said, well, I wouldn't say so.
Bob, it's 11:45. We have gone through the whole thing.
Right here.
Well, we've got a lot of
stories.
We got to go because I got to go get in touch with Nancy before she goes. You know, I don't ever see Nancy. I get so mad with her.
Now, do you want to say before I bring it back to you?
Let me tell you, let me bring it back to you, because
I don't need it.
For very long, I really do want to go see it. She's supposed to get her a dryer put in.
Well, I'll just say, I just put it back in
the car. And she goes to the game.
Yeah.
She's going to the game.
Yeah, they go to all the games. Inside and out.
You know what you do. You just leave them lying around in a pan.
So I better get on, because you see, they'll be coming through the door. Yeah. They got a new car, too. I want to see that. We all will be listening to the game. I wish we could. Well, how long does it take to run over?
Well, that's it. There's that beautiful little half-hour tea. They came over, just stopped by, I guess. And they didn't want to come in. They wanted to sit out in the sun, in the air. And I hollered out and said I had something for them. And I did. I had those sweet potatoes, some of them, that in a sack, a coca sack, that Wood had brought. And here it is, Channel 1 something or other. Channel 1 over, I guess. This 5:35, this Saturday morning, the 28th of November, 1970, Saturday morning, it's noon now, almost 12 o'clock. This Saturday morning, the 28th of November, 1970, Channel 1 over, around 5:40 it is. 5:40, the end of this little visit with Bob Marilina. This Saturday morning, it's 12 o'clock now, the 28th of November, 1970. Now, this is supper time, and Faye got back from a trip somewhere or other with Marilina, and it just might be she'd have a report this Saturday night, the 28th of November, 1970, on Channel 1 over, supper time. Our girl's gone. Faye got in. Cookie had to go back down. Somebody busted out his plate last winter. This Saturday night, supper time, the 20th of November, 1970, Faye just might have something to say.
She just felt petrified.
Oh, did she?
And Bob was going to listen to the game, and she didn't care to listen to it. So we just rode up
Yeah, she had to do a little shopping. And she cussed all the way back. And you know what set her off? Well, she cussed about Bob a little bit, and I'll put it down. But what set her off by cussing her was the police.
Yeah.
And she said she lost 3 nights sleep. I said, well, Marilyn, I never heard. I never even thought about you losing sleep. Well, she said, I did. I simply could not sleep. Wasn't just that. It's that beat it off. Pinhead. You just never have heard such cussing in your life. And she said, Bob cusses all the time, too. Cusses him all the time, too. And she's on the side of anybody who's against the police. She's going to write him a letter. I said, well, why haven't you already written? She said, she's too mad to write. I said, well, that's when you ought to write it. Well, when you're too mad to write, then you say things that nobody will read. She said, a little sign up there said, no turn on red. What made her mad was, even if she'd have seen it, she'd have turned right on red because it didn't make sense. Taking it into her own hands. And she said, "Fuck." I want to tell her that, or she's going to tell me some deep secret about Nancy or something, you know.
Yeah.
I went prepared to, you know, I didn't know she, you know, Marilyn. And she said she guessed she'd be an alcoholic yet. Her sister is, you know. But Bob is worried her to death. She said he'll lie around all afternoon, sleep. He comes back for lunch. I go and get him, bring him back. He's cussing all the time. And he sleeps and he plays the piano. He walks around the yard and comes back in and sleeps again. And the minute I come in, I worked all day, and kick my shoes off, he'll say, now where are we going tonight? Haven't been out of that house all afternoon. I'm tired of being in this house. There's one cool thing next to the other. They go down to every Saturday. Bob wants to go down to see his mother. He said it's just about every Saturday. Pauline, I'm just cussing there again. His sister, or his brother's wife, has waited on his brother, who's been about to die, for 30 years. And Marilyn says, just waited on him hand and foot. They live in a trailer. And she's got paraphernalia. So she's gone to California. And Marilyn says, I don't think she's coming back. She got 5 children out there. And she says she's just gone out there and the situation looks pretty good. So she didn't buy. She didn't buy a round trip ticket. She said she didn't know when she came back. She said, Mother Lee said she'd be back. Marilyn says, I don't think she will. Why should you? She said. But she said, I'm not going to take care of Fred down in that trailer. But she said he hasn't done one thing for himself in 30 years. And this woman just got tired of it. She got fed up with 30 years of waiting on him hand and foot. Marilyn just cut. She cut. She said, I'm going to be an alcoholic like my sister. If I don't watch out, I said, oh, my God. She said, Mom, it's not nothing she says is sorted. It's just with this big lift, you know. Pauline's not going to come back. Well, so happy. She said, I'm not going to take care of Fred. He goes to see Fred. Then he goes to see his mother. And then they drive all around him, and he goes to the shopping mall, and he packes the house, cussing all the time. But she said, you know who does the driving? I do. She said, Bob doesn't drive. I do. And then we get back at 1 o'clock at night. She said, you see, the thing that parents have to put up with, and families have to, there's no choice. Somebody like Henry, he's a fool. And Nancy too, you know. But see, they still got to put a good face on it. They got to accept to have Henry come in and sit around when they just would like to just kick him in the pants.
Yes.
He doesn't have any sense, and he just moved, you know, and then tried to leave Nancy and all that business, you know. And yet they got to put up with it. And she said, and it's just awfully hard on Rock on Bob. So of course she tries to tide them over, you know, and they hadn't been coming. And they go over to his parents and call up and say, well, they come by for just a minute. And they just come by and say hello and leave. And she said, then Bob practically has apoplexy after that. Why did they just come by and just leave in her? And she said, and with a long, because, well, you didn't want to see either one of them anyway. Of course, you wanted to see Nancy, but didn't want to see him. And see, Marilyn doesn't tell you that that's a bit of pill. She just tells you the way it is and moves on.
No comment.
All the
she
time,
gives you the circumstance.
Gives you the circumstance. But you see, when they got back, Nancy and Henry were there already. And evidently she talked them into coming back after the game, and having a bite of supper with them. They hadn't done that now before, maybe once or twice. So she was not looking forward to that with Bob. She was just a little bit jittery. But she writes a card to her sister every day and to Mother Lee every day. Writes a card every day. And she gets it off on the mail. She says that Bob calls his mother once a week. So he has the operator tell him, cut him off in 3 minutes. She said, one of their little things, that nobody has any business talking over 3 minutes. You need to say what you need to say and hang up. And he just has such a fit that when she makes a long distance call, she goes and calls from the office and charges it to the office phone. I never thought that Caroline took any sass from Bob or made any concessions to Bob. Well, she makes all kinds of concessions to Bob. And he wants her around all the time. She says he's just like it's terrible to try to get off from him. He might not do anything but play his fiddle when she's there and drive her crazy. Just laughter. But actually Nancy was on her mind, you see. But she never confides. But she talks all the time. She never let up. Never.
Where'd you go?
Public. No. Green stamp place. And you know what, guys? I thought we just go down to the other edge of Warburg and sit and talk. Well, she didn't care, but she had to do this, and so we just went.
You never just sat and talked.
You never sit and talk with me, right?
Anybody.
No, you have to be doing something. I have to be out. I have to be doing something. But anyway, she says that her sister doesn't go up there, see her, and she's by herself. And she needs to have some attention, so she just calls her up. Talks to her whenever she pleases. As long as she pleases. But and no matter what she says, is a long string, she cusses all the time. But it's still, she'll laugh. And lift it. But I'll try to put in, I will put in, this, well, she related it on tape, this police thing. But she told me all over again today. And just, she, evidently she's had a number of run-ins with the police. And she hadn't, she's never found a time when they showed any judgment. Always they were too high and mighty and knew it all and never would listen to you. And I said, well, you know, Melania, it seems to me that you used to be my grandfather was a sheriff. Well, he's the kindest man that ever lived. And everybody loved him. Yes, sir. She said, the times have changed. And I didn't know that she had that kind of, was carrying that kind of a...
Just like me.
Just like if anything. And she said that she gets so mad, she talks back to him and just loses her control. Why she said that, she said, I believe the time will come, they'll put me in jail, I'm sure. Because, you know, that's all they look at somebody who's just mad enough to resist the law. And they just put you in jail. But I noticed she was very careful to stop dead still when she came to red light. And she said, did that take her left? Oh, no left turn or no right turn? She said she had to be, watch herself, be very careful. At least it was next month or so. Because evidently they must have given her a fine talking. That little VW, you know, I don't like to ride in them, but we put it along about 50 miles an hour, and it's just, we were talking, so I didn't notice it. She filled that thing up that was empty, down there at the station she uses all the time, across from where she works. Regular gas thing for 27 cents. She filled it up for $2.50. And she said it last day. She tried it once a week.
I wonder those light cars, they simply couldn't have as much trouble as these heavy ones. Now, these two cars we have now are so heavy, it ain't wear out tires just rolling on them.
I rode with her today, but I'd sure hate to have to fight one of those things back and forth.
Change again.
Oh, it wouldn't be worth it. But she she can move. She can move. She can go. She could, like Francis, going to a grocery store.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh, God. She can move. And you talk about making notes and things like that. See, she does everything with ease and lives above the practical things. Lives above it. But she manages. And she had to get some things. She hadn't planned to go to get anything, but when the children stopped, so they'd come and suffer, she thought she'd better. And she needed to get the other things too. But anyway, she sat down there and I saw her. She got two of those cards out. She made a list just like that. And she moved, and we were in town in 30 minutes, I guess.
You weren't gone yet, long as I thought you'd be here.
And, oh, I spent about all 450. Oh, a long time over at Robert's. I'd have been back long before. Jean and Glenda had that little antique place open.
Oh, have they?
And they had a... She's going to have another baby. And the other one's 19 months old. Well, anyway, I didn't know. But they've got some right pretty antiques they've got.
They better have.
Yes, that's what he said. But I sat there and stopped with them and talked with them a little bit and looked at what they had. They're too expensive. I had bought them a long time before. But Gene said he wished that he was still back there, had some cattle. And she just is pretty and nice looking.
Yes, very attractive.
And you know, her evidently her family is right nice. She said, now this piece of cut glass was my grandmother's. Or this piece of pretty china, she knows these things, was my mother's. And Jean has refinished some beautiful little antique chairs. And
oh, really?
Re-caned them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And they're nice. And they have a marble top refinished old table and a clock that's just as interesting, a little brass clock. And he's done this.
Hey, I
want to
play Uncle
Gil.
I just want to hear his voice.